RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Health made easy. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Hi. So if you are trying to get and stay healthy, and you know that 50 is that age you're a little bit afraid of, whether it's around the corner or in your rearview mirror, what do you do to stay healthy after 50? Are there certain things that you want to do? My guest is Dr. Diana Bittner. She's board certified in obstetrics and gynecology, and she's a certified menopause practitioner. So she is the woman that we want to talk to. So Dr. Bittner, when we think about 50, are there certain changes, bone loss, heart disease, things that start to change and head southward as we turn 50?
There are. I see a lot of women around this time that say, oh my gosh, my body is changing. What can I do? I think where the intersection really comes with this age of 50, it's a combination of changing hormone levels and just the effects of aging. And one of them is loss of lean body mass or lean loss of muscle mass, which can increase risk of weight gain. And of course, loss of bone mass and just lots of changes are happening.
Okay, so these changes that are happening as our estrogen is falling and as our bodies are changing and we're starting to go through perimenopause or whatever the heck we're doing at this point, do we and do you as an obstetrician, and this is a question my girlfriends and I are all asking right now.
Okay.
Do you recommend replacing that hormone? Do you recommend that we do these kinds of things even if we're not getting symptoms as these changes take place?
The short answer is I do. The slightly longer answer is it really depends. It's an individual discussion between the patient and the doctor and the provider, because with all the information that we now have about hormone replacement therapy, we have a lot better idea of who it's safe for, of who shouldn't take it, how long to take it, when to start it, when to stop it. We have all that information. But let's say we take a woman who doesn't have a history of cancer. She's never had a blood clot. She's a fairly healthy weight, and she's right around the time her periods are ending. So the average age in this country is 52. So let's say her periods are ending. She's healthy. For her, estrogen would be a very safe option. I would recommend, yes, estrogen. Being on estrogen can help with symptoms, so it can help her sleep better, feel better, have more energy, feel like exercising, doesn't have as many hot flashes and night sweats. It avoids vaginal dryness, but it also helps physiology. It helps her not have that increased risk for weight gain and belly fat. It can be very helpful.
So if we don't have the cancer risk and the things, because we hear so many different pros and cons about replacement and whether or not, you know, it's going to contribute to breast cancer and estrogen grows things and it grew a baby and that kind of thing. And so if we don't have the risk, then you do recommend it for our physiology and for changing, you know, various hormone levels and keeping our bone density strong, all that sort of thing.
I do. And again, we know more and more. I mean, first on the breast cancer risk, we know that women who are on estrogen alone, let's say they don't have a uterus and don't have to take progesterone, they don't have an increased risk of breast cancer being on estrogen alone. If they have to take a progesterone, we would rather them be on a progesterone that's identical to the progesterone their ovary used to make. So there's several brands of progesterone that are identical to what the ovary makes. So again, we don't worry as much about the breast cancer risk, so there's good data. But in terms of the physiology, we know, for example, if women have surgery to have their ovaries removed less than 45 years old and don't take estrogen, we know that their risk of a heart attack is earlier by about 10 years. So there are a lot of changes in the physiology that happen because of low estrogen, and for that reason, we use estrogen.
Dr. Bittner, what tests do you recommend? And I understand you're an OB-GYN, but you're also a menopause practitioner. And what tests would you recommend women have after 50? Colonoscopy, stress test. If we were to make a list of your ideal tests that we would have, screenings and things to kind of give us a baseline, what would you recommend?
Well, there's changing recommendations by all of the you know, the American College of OBGYN and the North American Menopause Society. But basically, I recommend every year to see your doctor to discuss your risks. And we're learning more and more ways to assess the risks. The mammogram, at this point, we're still recommending every year, but perhaps in a low-risk woman, she can go every 2 years. After 50, I recommend cholesterol, and around perimenopause, cholesterol can go up really quickly, so around the perimenopause, I would recommend a cholesterol level every year, and a thyroid level at least every 3 years. Thyroid problems are very common and can impact symptoms and weight. I also recommend getting a diabetes screening test. If there's been any family history of diabetes, if a woman had diabetes when she was pregnant, I recommend that she get a hemoglobin A1C. It's a test of blood sugar over the last 3 months, you know, prior in her body. And we now can diagnose pre-diabetes or diabetes by this blood test. So I definitely recommend that. If I'm worried about high risk of heart disease, I'll also recommend a blood test called a CRP, which is a measure of inflammation. It's not maybe the most perfect test. It can not be that specific, but it can definitely give me a sense of their body level of inflammation. And bone density screening, we don't recommend until postmenopause, and only if it's going to change our management, for example, recommend medications or really push people to exercise and prevent osteoporosis. But, you know, basically they have an appointment every year to discuss risks and make sure there's a plan in place.
I want to have every one of those tests every single year. That's just me, though. Now, pap smears, we're not doing as much now, are we?
We're not doing as much, especially for women with negative HPV. So we know that HPV is the virus that increases the risk of cervical cancer. And if a woman is negative HPV, we know we can go 3 to 5 years between pap smears. And so it's helpful to have that HPV test to know. And it's nice to know there are some women we can leave them alone a little bit more and not do more testing and potentially more treatment than needs to be done. So basically, pap smears start at 21, and HPV testing starts in the 30s. And then we do, let's say a woman's been negative for HPV and her pap smears have been normal, we'll do them every 3 years with a pap and an HPV test. So
Dr. Bittner,
it's nice to be able to space that out.
And what about, like, cysts, fibroid, ovarian? These things seem to grow as we get older, especially after 50. Do we worry about these things? Do we ask for an ultrasound when we go in to see our gynae for our yearly?
Well, it can definitely go by symptoms. So let's say you've been known to have a fibroid, for example, then they definitely can grow in the perimenopause because the estrogen levels some days are really high and other days are lower. And on those days that it's really high, it can cause the fibroids or cause endometriosis to grow. So again, it's having that discussion, talking about symptoms, having that physical exam. And if there's any concern or family history, an ultrasound can be very helpful, at least to make sure there are not those issues. And if they're found, then we can follow more closely over time. I just think we need to get better and better with looking at risk factors and being able to, people who are low risk, we don't have to do as much. We don't have to put them through as much, and we can help them not worry as much. But if there's higher risk factors, then we can watch them closer.
That's great advice. We have about 45 seconds here. Your best advice, and the fact is that I'm going to keep getting my mammograms, despite what some of the controversial recommendations that come out, I am still going to get them. It's a piece of cake. It's no big
I'm
deal.
With you.
It kind of gives me a little sense of peace every year. So wrap it up for us, Dr. Bittner.
You know, the people I see who get through menopause the easiest, who age the best, are women who have a vision. They have a sense of how they want to be in the future. They're very connected with, when I'm 60, I want to be active. I want to be able to go on a trip and go on a tour, and I want to be able to, you know, not be sick, not be on medicines, not get cancer, not have a heart attack, just very focused in making choices. And then those are the women who tend to speak up for themselves, ask questions, and have a plan. So it's to have a vision and have a plan.
Such great information, Dr. Diana Bittner, and you can see more about her at spectrumhealth.org. And we're going to have her on again because, boy, she's an excellent guest. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.